Yes, it is, and welcome back this Thursday, August 26th, 2021. It is a delight to welcome into the studio someone I count as one of my closest friends. Our families have been friends for, I was thinking about this, probably over 50 years.
At least
50 years. And that is candidate for Governor Karen Taylor Robeson. One of my dearest friends. We've had her on before when she was here defending the First Amendment. We've had her daughter on. I don't know if people know that wonderful college young female college student we had in studio one day wanted to see what I was doing. She came in and she said, I said, do you want to talk a little? She said, sure. And she was talking about what it means to be a conservative on the college campus today. Your dad is a regular listener and caller as well.
He is.
I feel like this is an entire family affair and production here, Karen. Karen, you have a lot of experience and a lot of relationships that are pertinent to what we're seeing and take place in Afghanistan today, and I wanted to get your thoughts on that. But before we do, tell the audience a little bit about you, as you would like to give your biography as to why you're running for governor.
Why am I running? Well, I tell you what, Arizona is under attack, right? Our border is being overrun every day. We're watching it on the news. I've been down there. I visited the border, and it is beyond words at this point. Nancy Pelosi wants to federalize our elections. That will be a travesty for the entire country, and I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that does not happen. And third, our kids are being indoctrinated in our schools. And as you said, I've been a very vocal and passionate advocate for the First Amendment and for civics education. And what I see going on with critical race theory and everything else, it's designed to divide our kids, divide us, and teach our kids to hate America. And I am not going to sit back as a spectator and watch this happen. We are under attack. And I have been a lifelong Arizonan. I love this state. This state has been inordinately good to me, and I'm not going to sit back and watch our freedoms be taken away.
God bless you. Gosh, can you imagine a world where I'd love to imagine a world. I envision a world where Larry Elder is the governor of California, you're the governor of Arizona, and Herschel Walker is a senator from Georgia. I mean, we are at the potential here of turning things around, but they need to be turned around. Things are awful. Things are just awful. When you look at what's going on and took place in Afghanistan today, you put out a very powerful message today, Karen. Tell the audience what you said about the president in Afghanistan today.
I did. I called on the president to either lead or resign. What is taking place in Afghanistan is it's beyond words. You know, I serve on the civic leaders group of the Air Force Chief of Staff. And I had the opportunity to visit Afghanistan in 2007, and I went to Bagram Air Force Base, and it was an amazing experience to witness the men and women in uniform over there and what they do for us. And that was after we had accomplished the mission that we were there for. And so I'll be the first to say we probably stayed too long, but what he did, I hate to say it, I hate to sugarcoat it, but it was complete incompetence. They did this.
It's complete incompetence, and I think there's a callousness too, isn't there? You, as someone who promotes civics and history education, have been a long time here. We try not to repeat the mistakes of the past. There have been all these conversations about repeating Saigon, this being Saigon 2.0. What I've been trying to remind people, Karen, is it's not just the pictures. It's not just people falling off or climbing onto planes and aircraft. It's about the years after, the years following. And you think about a day like today, probably the worst loss of life for our military in at least a decade on a single day. You think about that. You think about Saigon, 1975. We lost two soldiers in that evacuation. I was thinking about Desert One under Jimmy Carter when we tried to rescue the hostages. We lost eight soldiers. This today is worse than Desert One and Saigon together without even looking at the out years.
Well, and today is bad, and it's just starting. Yeah. What happens after the deadline of August 31st?
Right.
You know, it's like I said, beyond words to think that we're now handing over to the Taliban the list of all of the Americans left. It's like handing over a kill list. And I don't understand it. I have talked to members of the military, who shall remain anonymous at this point. But they don't understand it. I mean, there is no reason why we couldn't have waited another month or 45 days until after the fighting season. And we could have avoided the loss of life. We could have evacuated our people in an orderly fashion. We also could have removed the $84 billion worth of equipment that we left behind, that you know as well as I know are now in the hands of enemies, not just the Taliban, but very likely the Chinese.
Oh,
and the
you
Russians.
Bet. And the Iranians. I mean, there's going to be an arms bazaar.
Right. To
the people who say, well, they can't use some of this sophisticated stuff. Well, maybe not, but they know how to sell it.
Right, right. And then let's talk about what this means to Arizona.
Please.
Right? We are on the front lines of the invasion of our border, right? Biden's Secretary of Homeland Security admitted last month, we had over 200,000 people crossing the border. And that's actually just the apprehensions.
Just the ones we can get.
Those are just the ones that we apprehended.
Right.
So what the total number is, we don't know. And, you know, conservative estimates are that 10% of those are not here because they're refugees from another country. They're here to do us harm,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
That's 20,000 people
right.
that are here to do us harm. That is called
an invasion.
We know
what 19 can do.
Right. And so we now have an avowed enemy of America chanting death to America in the streets of Kabul. Right? And not only do we have an open sign at our southern border, but we have the welcome mat out, right? So as a future governor of Arizona, I want to know what the Biden administration is going to do to keep the people of Arizona safe.
One of the things that I find kind of interesting about the rhetoric coming out of the White House is it almost seems as if the American people are far ahead of the White House, care much more about this than the White House. It's an odd thing, and it's an odd thing to say, as if our leadership isn't as good as the American people. I don't think it is, certainly not over the last several months. You have the vice president in Asia, Vietnam, Saigon, doing who knows what when she says Afghanistan is our single strongest priority, and up until 4 hours ago was going to go campaign for Gavin Newsom when she returned in California. And you have a president who creates a hostage situation from vacation and goes back on vacation. Karen, I don't know if this administration truly does have our best interests at heart.
Well, you used the word callous mm-hmm. before. And, you know, my thoughts exactly. Where we have the vice president going off to Asia. We have the Speaker of the House at a fundraiser in, I think, Napa
right.
or something.
Yep.
Not even talking about this.
Right.
You know, so I have to think in my mind, it's either sheer incompetence or it's purposeful.
Yep. When you look, and you're expert at this, we're talking to Karen Taylor Robeson, candidate for governor for here in Arizona. Her website, KarenForArizona.com, and she spells her first name K-A-R-R-I-N. K-A-R-R-I-N-F-O-R-Arizona.com is her website. Learn more to help out. But Karen, when you've done all the work you've done on the First Amendment, free speech, you've mentioned the problems of critical race theory, there is this assault on our Constitution here domestically. You've talked about it in your speeches. Perhaps you can reprise some of it in our next segment, your concern about constitutional provisions that are disappearing before our very eyes. Disappearing is too weak of a word, being taken from us before our very eyes. There is this down market view of America on the left from the progressive movement that has seeped too far into the Democratic Party, I'm sad to say. And it's not hard for me to connect the dots. When you don't believe very much in America, Andrew Cuomo said the quiet part out loud, we were never that great. You can see why an administration of that ideology would not care about what's taking place the way you and I care about it.
Well, absolutely. And a friend of yours, I know, and a mentor of mine, Bill Bennett.
Mm.
You know, he always, I like to quote him often on any number
of things. The three of us have done a lot of work
yes,
together.
Yes, but he said, you know, how do you love a country you don't know?
Right.
Hence the rewriting of our history.
Right.
Because if Americans and if school children understood American history, and more importantly, understood it in the context of world history, they would understand the exceptional nature of this country,
mm-hmm.
right?
Absolutely.
And in a self-governing republic that we have, we have to learn about who we are, what our place is in the world, and we have to, we can't sit on the sidelines. We have to participate or we're going to lose what we have.
It's one of the reasons I love Karen so much, not just our family relationship over the years, but the strength and fight in this woman. She's fantastic. Karen, K-A-R-R-I-N-F-O-R, Arizona.com, KarenForArizona.com. Check out her website, and you can stay with us a little longer.
I
want to talk about those constitutional violations being taken from it, the constitutional rights being taken from us when we come back. Can you do a little bit of that?
Absolutely.
I'm Seth Liebson. She's Karen Taylor Robeson. We will be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Liebson Show. When I was living in D.C. for about 15 years, whenever Bill Bennett and I had business with the conservative movement in Arizona, the first person we would always call is our dear friend and my dear friend, Karen Taylor Robeson. She is a candidate for governor here in Arizona, and her website is KarenForArizona.com, K-A-R-R-I-N-F-O-R, Arizona. .com. I've known you a long time. I have known you, Karen, as not only a committed conservative that I rely on and trust, but a damn hard worker, too. The audience, I don't know. I don't want to embarrass you, but I've seen you litigating cases in court at 7 months of pregnancy. That's all I'm going to say about your work ethic. You don't have to say anything about it. You do speak a lot about our constitutional rights and liberties that are at first slowly, and I think now more rapidly, being taken away from us. Particularly, you talk about the First, Second, Fifth, and Tenth Amendments. I wonder if you wouldn't mind saying something about that.
I would, but first I do want to talk about the work ethic.
Okay. Did I defame you?
Yeah, no.
You're a public figure now, so I can get away with it probably.
Yeah, right. For better, for worse, I've worked since I was about 5 years old.
And you are one of the hardest workers I know.
And I have been immensely blessed to have the opportunities that I have from, you know, starting out at 25 cents an hour cleaning shelves in my father's pharmacy in Mesa. To, you know, billing much more than that as a lawyer for many, many years. But I've just been inordinately blessed with my opportunities.
Well, you worked hard for them.
And I'm thankful for that. But yes, to your question, you know, when people, you know, when we have long conversations about why I'm running, I talk about, you know, these four numbers, 1, 2, 5, and 10. And it grabs people's attention because they don't know what's coming next. But very quickly, the First Amendment is obviously important to all of us. There's a reason that it's the First Amendment, right? It's free speech and it's freedom of religion. In my time on the Board of Regents in Arizona, it was a passion project of mine, the Regents Cup competition, which you've been in. You were graciously
I was still alive. I was privileged to be part of it 2 years in a row.
Right. And I thought
if
we can't teach our kids how to advocate and persuade through civil discourse, we're in big trouble. And having the largest university in America, I thought, you know, we could lead the way and show other universities around the country, just model free speech and civil discourse. And so that's been a passion project of mine.
Let me pause on it for a moment, because the idea of educating children through these things, our young adults through these things, is another part of it as well. It's, of course, a demonstration to the commitment to free speech and intellectual and academic freedom. But I remember watching a couple student competitors who, through this exercise of debate and exposure to ideas that you created with the Regents Cup, students I talked to who were very, very gifted said, well, they started off on the other side, but through reading things they hadn't been used to and trying to learn the arguments from a position they didn't hold, you've created conservative college students.
I just want to
point that out. It was a pretty good exercise.
Yeah, let's not forget why public schools were initially started in America.
Right.
STEM education wasn't a thing back then.
That's right.
It was about educating citizens to participate in a self-governing republic.
Perfect.
Right?
Perfect.
So First Amendment, and then, of course, freedom of religion.
Of course.
You know, John Adams, one of our foremost constitutional founders, right? He said, this Constitution is designed for a moral and religious people, and it is wholly inadequate for the governance of any other.
Correct. That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Right. That's right. So Second Amendment, number two.
I might point out, and we don't have to get into anything too deeply personal either, that I also know you as a woman of deep faith. And for some people, I just thought that might be worth noting. That's all.
You know, I am, and I'm proud of that, very proud of that. Second Amendment is non-negotiable, right? I I've said before that, you know, I have, you know, in my possession what we call a collection. They call it an arsenal in California.
I love that line. What Californians call a collection.
An arsenal.
What Californians call an arsenal, Karen Taylor Robeson calls a collection.
Yes.
I love it.
And I come from a family of hunters. Mm-hmm. You know, I tell you, if they left it up to me to go, you know, hunting for food, they'd be starving. But but I do have some good hunters in the family. And I'm glad that I can, you know, protect myself and my family. But that is not why we have the Second Amendment, right? The Second Amendment is to protect us from the tyranny of government, period. And so the Second Amendment for me is non-negotiable. Number five. The Fifth Amendment. You know, as a practicing lawyer for many years, I practiced in the area of, you know, property law, land use, real estate, and the takings clause is in the Fifth Amendment. Due process is in the Fifth Amendment, and you know, I believe that the government, as it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, right? They're, you know, even in the form of taxes, they're confiscating from us that which is ours. And so rule of law, due process, takings, private property. And private property really is such an important part of America and who we are, the ability to own the fruit of your physical and intellectual labor and pass it on to your kids, right? When you look at what Washington is doing in racking up trillions and trillions of dollars in debt, they're burdening our kids, and I refuse to sit back and let that happen. So that's number five. Number 10, states' rights. It's a one-sentence amendment. The power is not reserved to the United States or to I've lost my one sentence. But if they're not specific to the United States, they're reserved to the states,
right,
or the people.
Yeah, you got it. That's it. You nailed it.
Right? So, you know, at the end of the day, it's the states. Mm-hmm. That are the laboratories of democracy, and they will save our republic. And I am convinced that it's going to be governors pushing back against Washington, D.C., which is irretrievably broken. Washington has had how many decades to fix immigration and the border, and they have failed. Washington, D.C. and Congress has created a vacuum that the bureaucratic state in Washington has filled. And when I talk about the 10th Amendment and I talk about bureaucratic overreach in Washington, I ask people this question, and I'll ask your listeners. I'm gonna give a civics question here. How many crimes are enumerated in the Constitution? There's three.
I was going to say, I think I can name one or two, starting with treason, but go ahead.
Treason, piracy, and counterfeiting.
There. I hadn't thought of the piracy one in a while.
Yeah.
Probably have to think about it again.
The second question is, how many statutes carry criminal sanctions? Any good guess, Seth?
No, I'm sorry.
5,000.
Wow.
Okay, so there are 5,000 statutes, federal statutes, that carry criminal sanctions.
But they want to get you, they're going to get you.
Yeah, it gets better or worse, I guess. Yeah. How many rules, federal rules, exist that carry criminal sanctions that could put any one of us in jail?
Wow.
300,000.
Wow.
So these are 300,000 rules promulgated by unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats that could likely put any one of us in jail. We're probably breaking one of them right now.
Probably.
You know, and we don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
And so
that was my point in saying if they want to get you, they can get you, right?
Right. And so we're going to have to rely on the states to push back.
And we're going to rely on you. One last question as we go into the break, Karen. Yes or no, you're not going to make our kids wear masks, are you?
You know what? That is an individual choice, and I am not in favor of mask mandates.
Thank you very much. Karen for Arizona, KarinFor Arizona.com. We'll talk again soon, I hope, Karen. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Seth.
God bless you.